Yeah, you're right.
Doing all letters to the editor. And this, of course, Canadians are killing all over the place. You know, my wife is Canadian. Canadians, oh, Kaylee is also a Canadian. They're killing Harper. Finally, they have a prime minister who's still nice to Israel. I remember previous prime ministers who were not that good to Israel. But there was one I liked. That was John Diefenbaker, the Deep. His last act in government, I was then Rashid El Neri Soil in Toronto, and we had applied to the government for a loan to build dormitories. And it was approved by the Diefenbaker cabinet, the last act of the cabinet, I think it was in 62 or 63. So, yes.
Before that, there was Lester Pearson.
There was what?
Lester Pearson.
Lester Pearson, yeah, all right. I came after Pearson already, well, between Pearson and Diefenbaker, so Trudeau, my friend. Okay, listen, not a shear in Canada, because we know what Canada was during the Second World War. They were terrible. That was the infamous remark by a member of the Foreign Office of Canada when asked for permission to bring 20,000 Jewish children from Europe in the middle of the war to Canada. They said, none is too many. One of the ugliest comments of all. None is too many. So, all right. So, okay. So, but all right. We're very happy.
But did
that
he do it in the end?
No, I didn't. No.
No.
So anyway, the important thing is at least we're very thankful that we do have presently a prime minister who is with us in fire and in water, as we said. Not like Obama, who has our back. Often they on us, with Obama having our back. Okay, this only came up because I pointed out to my wife as we're driving here this morning the Canadian flags that are flying throughout the line. And we had to pass near the president's house and they cut off the streets over there. Most probably Harper's coming for a visit. Okay, the only other important thing, and I think this was extremely significant, and nobody noticed it, just me.
Now we will know it.
I'll tell you, just me. Page 8 and 9 of the Jerusalem Post, Daf Ches and Daf Tes, usually have what's going on in the world. And it's always a bomb goes off in a market in Afghanistan, 13 killed. Syria, 22 killed. Today they had a big article about sniper fire in Lebanon. It's all over the world. People are killing one another. It's unbelievable. But of course, the most serious problem in the world is here. But that's it. But no, on the side they have small items. Small items means these are items of insignificance. And one of the items of insignificance this morning was 26 killed in Baghdad in a series of bombings. And 26 in Baghdad is not big news anymore. It's off to the side. What's this world coming to? What's this world coming to? I just wanted to welcome Shulamit Gunders. Is here back with us this morning. It's about 3 weeks ago that her mother, Leah Shalom, passed away. She was over 100?
102.
She died peacefully. I'm welcome to Nachum Lutak, the Tov Shaf, and it's in the joy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't be frightened by the number one. What I'm going to deal with today, and this is something that years ago came at the end of the year, I never had the opportunity to develop this. And you know, every few years you have to go back and take these things that we've left hanging, and I always say, you know, I'm going to get back to it one day. The day has come. A tshuva from a shlin zan of Urban Sefer Tzadikudah. There's a sefer that came out recently about his tshuvas, and in one of the early chapters, they talk about, the author talks about the shlin zan, and this was really him. One of the big shailos in halacha, don't get shook up. One of the big shailos in halacha is whether you're allowed to make ayah and tzibalach Shabbos in the morning. Eggs? But we didn't say tzibal, don't tzibal me, Malka. There's tzibalach. Onions and eggs. You have to chop up the eggs, and you have to chop up the onions, and then you have to mix it with oil or whatever anybody puts in. There's only the fancier ones, not agobubis, but the fancy ones may put in some celery if they have. Anyway, it's a big shaila in halacha because we're talking about something that approaches very close to the prohibition of lush. Lush is kneading. The process of kneading means you take a liquid and a solid, and the liquid takes the pieces of the solid and makes them one. There's a great deal written about it in halacha. And many, most say, yeah, it's okay, but Rav Shlomo Zalman was asked, how does he know that it's okay? It's a serious shaila. And in all seriousness, Rav Shlomo Zalman said, my bubba made it, and my mother made it, then it's got to be good. And now all that's left is, I'm going to have to find the reason why. But if they did it, you can bet on it that it's good. So they called him, you know, as the fellow writes, he says, you know, here is a great posek, a giant, Paskins by the Bubba. By the way, he was that in many things. We have a son-in-law who was a very close Talmud of his. And he called his son-in-law in a few days before the wedding, and he told him, Duvidl, you should know that you're Mechatunim, your Kala's parents are Americana. And they are going to want to take their daughter to the chuppah. They're not going to stand for this Israeli stuff of the two fathers and the two mothers. So he told them, it's okay. It's okay. That's exactly what we did. That's exactly, I never even considered anything else. I remember after our first daughter got married, and I didn't even know what they did here in Israel. And I went, my wife and I took our daughter to the chuppah. After the chuppah, some people come over, you're courageous. You are courageous. So, you know, I didn't disagree. But I remember even having been at a wedding, and I saw it's one of the American Lashon Yeshivas here, and he's running with the two fathers and the chosn to the chuppah. What's he running for? Then I find out the story. The parents of the chosn were from America, and the mother of the chosn had been looking forward more than anything else, together with her husband, to take the son to the chuppah. But no, Chashir said, no, can't do it. And therefore, to make sure that the poor mother doesn't, God forbid, transgress the horrible sin of a father and a mother taking a child to the chuppah, he rushed them to the chuppah. He will have to pay for that. the mother of the chosen burst into tears. She was robbed of this great joy of taking the child to the home. But that's the way we did it. And my God, Shlomo Zalman, the way you did it, every minute was holy, and that's it. All right. So that's from Shlomo Zalman. I mean, I'm giving you a little. I had an incident with him in the early 2-3 years of the, I don't know if there were totally unnecessary and uncalled for Shabbos demonstrations. You know, there were those who waited to see a car come in. God, Baruch Hashem, there's a car! Shabbos! They're screaming, they make all sorts of tumults. It was wonderful, a car came in. Anyway, they made a number of demonstrations, and you know, the demonstrations meant that police came in the middle of Shabbos. Chaydnish, what Chil Shabbos came because of this desire to make sure that there's going to be Shmira Shabbos in Arnold. And I was the opposition. I was the opposition, believe me. There were people who yelled at me and screamed at me. Esaminishgagangin and Linka Padeshva. You don't understand it. Where I said, it didn't make any difference to me at all that people yelled or screamed at me. And I remember one Friday, there are big signs in Hanov that if you see a car coming in, you have to stand and yell, shut up! And sign on the back was Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach. Instantly, I called Rav Shlomo Zalman and I told him about the signs in the streets of Arnof. He says, oh no, I never said anything like that. To be mevaza a year, to shame the Jews, talking about the Jews driving. You can't shame them. All that I told the people who asked me was, you should say to yourself, Shabbos, Shabbos. And these fellows went ahead and they made big signs that Rav Shlomo Zalman said, yo, Shabbos. Wait a minute. Boy, was I a tiger then. All right, but you know, that's the youth. We don't have any such big fights today. Anyway, the question was completely unnecessary. It was unnecessary. It was unnecessary because the way the community was developing, there were no schools, there was nothing for the non-religious Jew. Ultimately, they would all leave, which they did, and I felt bad. I felt bad. I would often have non-religious neighbors. You know, if you invite somebody in for a Kiddush on Shabbos, do so, but it doesn't work that way over here. It doesn't work that way over here. Anyway, so Rav Shlomo Zalman never said, yell Shabbos. Never. All right, okay. We took too many minutes, but all right, Rav Shlomo Zalman was a great man, very great man. Very often I feel that we're missing him. We need a man like him. So here it is. I just have to take you through this first paragraph because there's something so beautiful about the way he writes it. He says, "Katav b'sefer Shmirah Shabbos Kilchosa." Everybody knows that Sefer Shmirah Shabbos Kilchosa, Rabbi Yeshayahu Neuwirth Olav Hashom's great compendium on the laws of Shabbos that has become a household sefer. So Rav Shlomo Zalman, it's going to be funny. What? He quotes a halacha from the Shmirah Shabbos. And he says the following. You know what the Shmirah Shabbos says? Ein chayovim me'ikir adin lasos ma'isa shiyesh bo Torah gadol kidei lenoah et hatzorech b'chilu Shabbos she'ol li'yot b'shvil pikuach nefesh. You don't have to do anything that calls for great effort in order to avoid the necessity of desecrating Shabbos when we're talking about pikuach nefesh. When one's life is in danger, you know what you do? You just go ahead and you mechalel Shabbos. The example that he's going to give is There's a chola in apartment A, sick person in apartment A, needs hot water. Now I know that right next door in the next apartment, in apartment B, they have 10 samovars of boiling hot water. What do I do? Do I boil up water in apartment A? Or do I just walk over, knock on the door of apartment B and get all the hot water I want? Or suddenly someone says, no, you cook up hot water in apartment A. You don't go to apartment B. You have to bother or trouble and maybe even wake up B. No. There's a halacha that pikuach nefesh, when life is in danger, Shabbos is suspended, your chiyuv is boil up water here, now, and on Shabbos. That's quite a halacha. So he says, mutar, it is permitted, la'artiach mayim, to boil up water, la'tet, la'tei, for tea, or to put on a light for somebody who's sick and there is danger to life. By the way, danger to life doesn't have to mean absolute danger and that one is already on his last leg. Even if there's a suffix, a doubt whether there may be pikuach nefesh, you mechal Shabbos. Afim eitzel shcheino, you're allowed to cook up the water, even though by the neighbor, yesh l'mayim chami muchanin is ready and prepared hot water. Or menorah deluka, he has a lamp that's lit, you can bring it in. Ela, shemisidatam b'shvil acholet tigron l'shachin tzar v'sevel. For the neighbor to give his hot water may cause him some pain or suffering. Kigron sheshcheinom yashen. The shachin is sleeping. You're going to bang on the door, you're going to wake him up to get hot water. No. Cook up hot water on Shabbos. Yes, sorek lohoyeh, so you have to wake him up. Don't do it. V'chein, ein ha'achayot shebebet ha'cholim chayavot l'misoret ha'ochel shalehen b'shabbat. Nurses will bring their lunch along with them when they come on Shabbos to the hospital. And now we have a chola that somebody is ill and they didn't prepare enough food before Shabbos. So maybe we should ask from the nurses, you know, give us, share your food. No. Go ahead and cook a whole meal for this person who is sick. The achayot, the nurses, they don't have to give their food for the chol on Shabbos. Kedem Noah, in order to avoid bishul bavur cholim, for those who've been brought to the hospital, maybe not on Shabbos, they didn't know in advance they were going to have, and they didn't prepare enough. No. You don't have to take from anybody. Go ahead and go. Dinim, here's where it gets interesting. He's quoted to you the Shmiras Shabbos Kilchasa. So you think, you know, Shmiras Shabbos. So now, the Son Zalman says that these halachas were bought in my name. I'm the source. Dinim elu hufu shomish me, these laws were brought there in my name. The hayod sheshamati. You know, he could have started the whole thing and simply said, you know, I paskin such and such. No. He brings it as it is in Shmir Shabbat Chosa, then he sneaks in over there that, you know, in a footnote, in the Shir Shabbos, we take a look down at the bottom, it says, Kach Shamati, this is what I heard from Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. All right. So now he says that I also heard that somebody disagrees with me. The head posek of the Eidah HaChavegis at the time disagreed with him. And then he says, V'hayot, since I heard the Gdolei Torah, V'ksavu Baal Peh, Shalatatom Zetavuah, it means from a number of Gedolei Torah who called him or wrote that they don't understand this psak of Rav Shlomo Zalman.
Mm-hmm.
Some years ago, it must have been 50 years ago, a siddur came out, the fattest little siddur in the world. It was called Siddur Yerushalayim. This is a siddur, if anybody's going to be caught on a desert island or on the moon, and he needs to know everything about anything, this little siddur had it all packed in over there. They should have, of course, sold the Sidurim with a magnifying glass, because some of it, even then when my eyesight was still good, I couldn't read. But anyway, so they bring these halachas from Shlomo Salomon, and then they bring the psak, or the counter halacha. Where Pinchas Epstein said, and he writes the following, Eini maskim in zeh. I don't agree with this. V'gam ha-shochen mechuyev vassal slat solos matzor shalachar. The neighbor also has an obligation to save the life of a fellow Jew. He gets off scot-free? No, he also has a response. Sounds good, right? Sounds very good. Okay? After he sore himself a little bit, so he lost a little bit of sleep. Big deal. We have to save the Jewish life. He brings from the Ravaz that everybody has a responsibility to save a Cholish Yesh Bo Sakana. And therefore, the Ravaz, he was 500 years ago, the Ravaz wrote that if the Cholah could conceivably cook up his own hot water, no, others should do it. But it means that others also have a responsibility. Okay? Ukumokain, where it's underlined, they also disagreed with me in another psak. Roshan Mizam says, Al Ha'om Roshan Mizam, you know, Chute Hashmal Hapetuchim. Roshan Mizam paskins, if an electric line came down, and it's a sakon, it's in the street over there, somebody can touch it, and God forbid, who knows what will happen. So Roshan Mizam said, call the Chavrat Hashmal on Shabbos. You understand? Call them. Go to a fallen call. And they disagree with it. No, you know what you do? Somebody should stand there a whole Shabbos and shoot people away. All right? So he says he also dealt with what I said over there, that chutei chashmal hapetuchim, open electric lines. The kayam chash, and there is a concern, shodom yigab ahem, somebody's going to touch it. Dinam kedin machala mesukeh. So he, Reb Shlomo Zalman paskin, that the open electricity lines have a halacha like a person who is in grave danger. You can be mechal Shabbos. The kosav shom, and now the antagonist of Reb Shlomo Zalman says, "Ein maskin in zeh. I don't agree with this either. Ef shalahamad olam shiazir olitlo shelat mucham ba'ishes takon alim be'er." Either a man is going to stand there, or they should have prepared signs in advance of Shabbos, sakon and danger, you understand, and put the signs there, but nobody should call the Chavrat
Hashmal.
Okay. And if they don't read. You don't have to bring a goy, two should do it. There's another din that Rav Shlomo Zalman passed. Muda la'adam, L'kol adam, l'talfein, l'ambulance, amenas l'havir chol l'shesh b'sakon l'beit ha'cholim. Anybody can call an ambulance. If you have to take somebody who is seriously ill to the hospital, anybody can call. V'ein hu chil l'havir et shreinu shomer ha'shabbos shesh l'mechonir v'lova. I could go to my neighbor. My neighbor has a car, right? So now he can go straight off and take the cholah to the hospital in his car, which means that I will avoid, somebody's going to have to take him, but We don't have to have the, we don't have to have anybody make a phone call that's an edit on the Shabbos. We don't need that. So he says, Shesh of Chomit that has a car, Rasla Hasia Hakola, in Yitzhare Halo, La'ash, Lisha'er Minutak, Mibay Beitov, and Meshach Kola Shabbat. No, otherwise, if the soul is going to drive, you know, he's going to be away from his family all of Shabbos. On Yitzhareth Lokum Mishnato, we feel the Sea of the Soul. That's what Shun is on, Pastor. I have to wake up my neighbor to go drive somebody to the hospital on Shabbos. I don't have to put my neighbor into a situation where he may be away from his family all Shabbos. I have the chel in my house, you know what I do? I call. Let me just get through it. Just, okay. But I'm afraid that I'm not going to make it. So he says, the antagonist wrote about this. By Hatzos saving lives, whoever goes ahead and does it first is praiseworthy. And so what? So what if he'll be cut off from his home and his family all of Shabbos and he'll suffer a little bit for a fellow Jew? Sounds good, right? Umasha, Acha Mechal, the Shabbos forever, Aveda, the Bimase, Bolitzer, and you go to the Bisha, and then you're going to call, and you're going to call an ambulance, and now you're going to get the ambulance driver to. He's going to have to meet the Shabbos. What's the difference? Knock on your neighbor's door, tell him to get out of here and take this chela to the hospital. Ulam. Here is the basic statement of policy. Of Rav Shlomo. B'dvarim hanogim l'pikuach nefesh ein cholkin kavod. Anything that has to do with danger of life, you don't honor somebody who's older, maybe greater, big tam chacham, no such responsibility. I don't have to be afraid of Rabbi Pinchas Epstein or anybody else. Pikuach nefesh. I have a right to my opinion, and I want to explain my opinion. But anochi, but ongi, I, the poor one, al mishmarti e'em odo, I'm going to stand there, and I'm going to defend my position. Shekeinim hein hadvarim. What I said is truth. The chen roi lahorot, and the way I passed him is the way that you should pass him. I said al kein. Therefore, hinini levayer tameh aver. I'm going to explain why I said this. Umitach mitochav yizbaru beazav Hashem od bar makshum amigel pivadam. He says, by on the basis of what he's going to explain, a lot of things are going to be better understood. And it's true. It's an amazing truth. But yes.
I want to hit on regarding Rabbi.
Yes.
Regarding the electrical outlet. There is a rule in Shabbat that everyone should know. So on that basis, you don't even need to sin.
I'm having a little. You have to forgive me. I'm having a little difficulty. Wonderful, but we have to see what Rabbi Shlomo Zalman has to say over here.
Okay.
So he brings all sorts of sources, and somewhere in the middle of the tshuva, and this is what excited me, because I, in all humility, you know, he's also humble, I'm also humble, I had worked this out in my mind, and then I see Rav Shlomo Zalman says that I was excited, you know, I was just plain excited. So he says, Asad gadol l'dvarenu mehabo v'machteret. You know what's real proof to what we said? The halacha ba b'machteret. That's what we're going to talk about. Ba b'machteret is in this week's sefer. And we're going to see right away the psukim, as far as mishpatim. I hadn't forgotten about it. And the halacha ba b'machteret, and he brings the Rambam. How the Rambam formulates this halacha. Ba b'machteret literally means a person who comes and digs in to somebody else's house in order to steal. He comes, the machteret, underground. That's where the word underground came to be used for what we know as a machteret, a terrorist or a non-terrorist underground. Because the Rambam said the following, which they might have Tita HaTorah Domushankana. The Allah of Baba Achteret, and we see it more clearly, is Reuven comes to steal from Shimon, digs into his house, and says, we understand that today, you know, that we have to, there are 1,000 tunnels, you know, around Gaza. Tunnels, boy, this is it. Anyway, he tunnels into somebody's house, or it doesn't really have to be that way. Somebody who stealthily comes into one's house in the middle of the night. You know, don't get yourself confused with a tunnel. It could be opening a window or shimmying a back door. But he comes in to steal stealthily. And Shimon, who's the owner of the house, don't get the names mixed up. The Ganeth is Reuven. Throughout the shir, he will remain Reuven. The Ganeth is coming to steal from Shimon. Shimon accosts him. Shimon has a right to shoot him dead, kill him. You understand what Torah said? Torah has permitted what under other circumstances would be considered cold-blooded murder. One of the cardinal sins, the halacha is you can kill, and we're going to see why soon. So the Rambam says, Umit Neymahi Tida HaTorah Domo Shekhanah. Why did the Torah permit the blood of the Ganeth? They were allowed to kill him. Afal Pisha Balis came on. And by the way, he's not coming into the house in order to kill Shimon. He's coming into the house in order to steal from Shimon. He's coming in. I imagine today they don't come for TVs anymore. They come for smartphones and tablets, real sophisticated stuff. So he's coming to steal. And despite the fact that he's only coming to steal, Torah says you're allowed to kill him. Shoot him dead on the spot. So Rabbi says, why did the Torah permit the blood of the gun, even though he comes on Iskei Mavin in order to steal? Lefi shechespeso shim omar balabayis lefano umano yehargeno. Because there's a chazaka, we can assume it as a truism, that the Ganeth realizes that if Shimon is going to accost him, he's going to stand up and defend his money. Therefore, Reuven, when he stealthily enters the house, intends that if he's going to be caught in the act, he's going to shoot Shimon dead. Therefore, Shimon has the right to defend his tablet and kill Reuven. From here, there is another halacha that is learned. The Gemara learns from here, habola hargecha, somebody kills that comes to kill you, hashkein v'hargo. Hashkein v'hargo. Okay? And the Rambam goes on to say further, because he knows Shim, oh my balabais, if Shimon is going to stand up against Reuven, umano yehargen, he's going to kill him. The Nimzah zeha nifnes, therefore, the Torah says that the person who enters stealthily somebody else's house is already considered a murderer to begin with. He is considered a rodef, a pursuer, a chaved al hargo, to kill his to kill Shimon. But wait a minute, Rav Shlomo Zalman says. Wait a minute, Rav Shlomo Zalman. You know what Rav Shlomo Zalman to say here? Something that in the Shir years ago I called the gold plan. Do you want to hear the gold plan? Come on, say yes.
Yes, of course.
Of course. Gold plan is the following. Usually my prop is usually my watch. It was a different watch last time. I think the other one was stolen, but this is a, it's a new watch. I didn't have this 10 or 15 years ago. Anyway, Reuven is coming in to steal the watch from Shimon. Now, there are a number of possibilities. Shimon is going to defend his watch. You know what's going to happen? Reuven is going to kill Shimon, and Shimon is going to lose his life. There's a second possibility. Shimon is going to draw first, and Reuven, who's come to steal the watch, is going to be killed. There's a third possibility. These two are coming toward each other like two cowboys in Death Valley. And they both shoot at the same moment. And you know what? Both Reuven and Shimon are killed. For what? For a watch. For shlugging a watch. There are going to be almanis. There are going to be Simon, orphans and widows for a fashlubin of what? For heaven's sake. All this loss of life. So the gold plan. The gold plan is the following. That when Reuven comes in to steal the watch from Shimon, you know what Shimon should do? Give him the watch. Finish. You know how many lives we've saved? How much agony? Give him the first look at the watch! Well, it's a game, it's a begrechen, head and face. Let him have the watch. Brilliant plan. Brilliant plan.
Wait a minute.
Why didn't the Torah say that? All right. But the Torah says no. I have a right to defend that which is mine. But wait a minute. It's more than that. What does it mean? I can't help myself? I can help myself. I can help myself. You know what's wrong with the gold plan? First of all, the gold plan can turn into an absolute farce. It would be a big joke. If the gold plan would be instituted, by the way, I'm not all broken up that it wasn't instituted. If the halakha would be like gold, so that means the following. Let's now assume there's a third person here. Lady, Reuven, the thief, Shimon, the owner of the watch, and Levi. According to the gold plan, Shimon should give Reuven the watch. Now, what happens if here it is, Levi is watching, and Shimon doesn't want to give the watch? You know what Levi's responsibility would be? To tell Shimon, Shaygatz, give him the watch. Because the halacha in Torah is the gold plan. That the one they're stealing from, is supposed to give it to the Ganav. So anybody who's watching this has a responsibility to assist the fulfillment of the mitzvah. Shimon, give the Ganav the watch. That's one absurdity. That's one absurdity. The second absurdity is really becomes an Abbot and Costello absurdity. Ganav comes in, give me your watch. Gives him the watch. Wait a minute. Then the owner of the watch takes out his gun and says, give me the watch. You know what I'm saying? Gives him the watch. Give me the watch. Give me the watch. Give me the watch. Give me the watch. This is a comedy. But there's something more significant over here. If the Torah would have paskened that Shimon should give the watch to Reuven, you know what the Torah would have been doing? The Torah would have been legislating the law of the jungle. And what would happen would be the disintegration of all of society. Ownership and possession is fundamental to all of life. There's no such thing. It's not yours, not yours. Keep your hands off. You have no right. And the Torah, on the contrary, gives the permission to go ahead and commit one of the worst crimes. It's not a crime over here. Over here it becomes a mitzvah. To take a human life for the watch. Otherwise, society collapses. It implodes from within. That was the goal plan. By the way, there's another aspect of the goal plan. And I'm sure someone is going to mention this later in the shiur. I don't have it here, but I didn't put it on the sheet. What happens if the owner of the watch sees that Reuven's coming in and he has a Kalashnikov, an Uzi, 10 grenades, and who knows what else. And Shimon has nothing. You know what Shimon had better do? You better give the watch to him. Give the watch to Reuven and then hope that he then he'll end up with his life. The gold plan was originally created to talk about the situation where people want a piece of land that's mine. And it was always mine. For 3,500 years it was mine. So now, what am I supposed to do? It's just the names change. It's not Reuven who's coming to the land, it's Mustafa. Mustafa wants the land. Well, but wait a minute. It's my land. What would the Torah say? The Torah would say, no. Shoot Mustafa dead. Habola hargacho, hashkein hargo. What happens, God forbid, if Mustafa is armed to the teeth and poor Shimon isn't? Then it's disaster. You better give him that, and chances are you're not even going to come up with your life after it's all over. The only tragedy of our days is, and this is the profound tragedy, there are some Shimons who believe that Mustafa has a real claim to the land. That's the tragedy. You know? He also lives here. That's the profound tragedy. But the ultimate halacha is Habola Hargacha Hashem Baraga. No. It's mine. If I believe with every fiber of my being, and you don't have to have too much fiber in your being, all you have to do is believe in Torah, then you know that, or believe in history, then you know that the land is our land. And if so, I don't give it to anybody. Why does he want it? It's his, it's not his, it's mine. Let's see Reb Shlomo Zalman now. With what I've told you, you'll have enough to understand what he's saying. So he says, the fourth line in number one, being. Okay. What is Rav Shlomo Zalman learning from the case of Babarach Teret? Babarach Teret says that I can kill the guy who's coming in to steal. I can kill him. But he says, Shimon has another possibility to save his life. The owner of the house has another way to save Lahatzaratzmo. To save himself, that he's not going to stand up and fight for what is his. He's going to give it to him. And then the Ganef is certainly not going to pursue him to kill him. That may be true with Reuven and Shimon. It certainly cannot be accepted as truth with regard to Mustafa and Shimon. But remember, I'm taking it back to Rav Shlomo Zalman. Rav Shlomo Zalman is talking about Reuven and Shimon. He's talking about two Jews who are concerned, one coming to steal from the other. So he says, דאף מי ששולט ברוחו ואין הוא בוחו, הרבה על ממונה אפילו אוכל, מוטל עולמה על ממונה. כשנזם says, the halach of the Torah that says I'm permitted to kill the fellow who comes in to steal. The halach is true even if I could overcome my passion to defend my watch. I can, have the watch. Even though I could do that, not good enough, I have a right to kill him. Even though I don't care about the watch. I don't care about anything. The halacha is you're allowed to kill him. Af mi shesholei perucho, ve'eno bahul harbeh al-mamon, even somebody who rules over his own spirit, and he's not so confused about his money. Afilacha, despite that, mutal olamad al-mamon, it's permitted for him to stand there and defend what's his, ulihit komein neged ha-ganav, and to stand up against the ganav. Ve'lo lachush klal lazeh. He shouldn't even take into consideration at all Shagadehit Nagbuto by his standing up against the Ganeth, who Oset HaGaneth Lerodeh, he turns the Ganeth into being a pursuer, and therefore Roy Reshoy Rahashkim Olav Harbeth, therefore I, Shimon, has the right to get up and kill him, because who's turning the Ganeth into a potential killer? Shimon is turning him into a potential killer by virtue of the fact that he wants to hold on to his watch. And despite the fact that it is I, Shimon, who am turning him, Reuven, into a murderer, I'm permitted to go ahead and kill him. Umashma, the angel of the Shamir, the Fasman, part of the Holyan, Gamchi, Shochel, Hatzla, Hatzla, the other words, or the Shari. לפני שעומד כנגדו לעבוד אפילו כלל, על כן, coming to what he wants to say, the commotion מותר להשביע את חברו, לסוף לחוש לזה שמח שלו של לעבוד, I don't have to be concerned that I'm turning him into a Ganef. By my standing up to defend my watch, I'm turning him into a Ganef. And if I'm turning him into a Ganef, I'm turning him into a pursuer. And if he's a pursuer, then the halach is allowed to kill. What's mine is mine. So Shlomo Zalman wants to say, same thing here. That somebody has to be mechallel Shabbos. I don't have to expect anybody else to give up what's theirs. I have a chayil in my house. I'm going to cook up water. I don't have to take anything from anybody else. Don't have to take from anybody else. I know, but you're getting me nervous. Yeah. What are you, what's your...
So, I want to know...
Speak loud.
Reuven comes to steal the watch from Shimon. Shimon gives him the watch. Reuven is running out. Shimon pulls a gun and shoots him in the back.
No.
Did you
do that? No.
The Irish question was the following. Reuven comes to steal the watch from Shimon. Shimon gives Reuven the watch. Reuven turns around and leaves the house. Shimon goes ahead and shoots Reuven in the back. You know what? If I'm not mistaken, the moment the incident is over, Reuven is no longer a pursuer, and Shimon becomes a killer. The permission that Shimon has is only as long as the incident is in process. Yes?
Does this only work at night? And would it stand up?
Very good question.
And would it stand up in court?
Very good. And later on, the next slide I have the Chambam. It doesn't make... you know what? It doesn't make a difference whether it's day or it's night. It's just a matter of when one is coming to steal. But the Torah is only using terminology that is, you know, as I said before, it doesn't even have to be somebody who's tunneling in. What if he doesn't tunnel? He jimmies the lock and he comes in. So the Torah is just using an example. And the Rambam is going to say clearly, makes no difference whether it's day or night. By the way, it also makes no difference whether it is Chol or Shabbos. On Shabbos, killing the intruder is not only murder, but it's also Chol Shabbos. Doesn't make any difference. He's an intruder. There's a great debt to pay for being an intruder into somebody's house.
Rabbi.
Yes?
Shimon could have given him the watch.
Yes.
And Reuven is worried that Shimon's going to be a witness that he stole from him. So Reuven killed him anyway. He killed Shimon. That's why he said he killed him.
You're using that exactly as the example that I used of giving the land. In other words, there were those who paskin that in order that there should be peace and Jews should be safe, give them the land. But what happens if the chances are 100% that you'll give the land and they're going to try and kill you anyway? No, that is going out. Because all that you're doing is, you're bringing the enemy closer. And you're making it more possible for him to kill. I can't do that. All right, wait. Go ahead.
Is it only in the house, or if he attacks you on the street and tries to steal?
Any place. We'll get to the Rambam here. Yes?
My instinct tells me that the moment that something is happening to you, and if you know the halacha, you react immediately that way. If you don't know what to do, etc., then there are all kinds of circumstances that come in. But it's the instant that you are accosted, and you know that you can kill the other guy, you would do it, but you wouldn't.
You do it only, you know why you do it? Because the Torah says you should do it.
Okay, but
the if the Torah would say not to do it, if the Torah would consider this murder, you wouldn't do it. But you know what? The Torah knows what it's talking about. How do you like that?
So once that moment is over, a whole new set of rules comes in.
Let's go. We don't have much time, but we're going to keep going. It's learning Parshas Mishpatim. There are two psukim in Parshas Mishpatim that all of this is based on. So this is one of the proofs that Rav Shlomo Zalman brings, where I don't have to relinquish something that's mine, and therefore the neighbor doesn't have to give us hot water. I have another thought that I want to share with you. You know what Rav Eshu is doing when he says the halacha that Pikuach Nefesh Dofer Shabbos, that Pikuach Nefesh sets aside Shabbos. The Rav Eshu is saying, you know what? I'm also concerned about a Jew whose life is in danger. And you know what? I'm contributing to this. I'm canceling Shabbos. And if I cancel Shabbos, the great Shabbos, I cancel it. Because I also want to save that Jew. Therefore, you know what? You're in the house, it's me and you. Wait a second. Go boil the hot water. Don't waste a minute. Boil the hot water. I'm making the great sacrifice of canceling my Shabbos, just like I am also canceling the law of murder when Reuven comes to steal. You know what a step that is? Murder. One of the cardinal sins. Murder is murder. But no. Society, just like the Gemara says, be mechal one Shabbos for this fellow, so that he'll be able to keep a lifetime of Shabbatot. So the Rishon says, you know, we're partners. In Pikuach Nefesh, we are partners. I'm sacrificing, suspending my Shabbos. Leave the neighbor out of it. Me and you, we're going to do the job. The two psukim in Torah. I'm going to give a shiur on Parshas Mishpatim, and we haven't learned the two psukim that it's all based on. In the Machteret, you must say Haganah. If the Ganah will be found, if the thief will be found in an underground passage, in the Machteret, you must say Haganah, for who can make, and he is struck and dies. Ein lo domim, he has no blood. No blood. All right. Rashi is going to explain Ein lo domim. The moment he enters the house in order to steal, you know what the Torah, what kind of a halacha the Torah gives him? He's a dead man. Because the Torah says you're allowed to kill him. And therefore, Ein lo domim, you did not spill blood over here, because this man has already spilled his own blood by coming in to steal. In Zorah Shemesh Olav, if the sun shines on him, domim lo, he has blood. Shalim Yishalim, he should pay. Now, let's take this, how Rashi understands it. In Zorah Shemesh Olav doesn't mean if it's in the daytime. If the sun shone on him. The term Zorach HaShemesh Olav is a metaphor. And the Gemara explains, you know what the metaphor means? If it is as clear to me as daylight that this Reuven is not going to kill me. The Gemara can only come up with one example. The example is a father who's coming to steal from his son. He'll never kill him.
Not the opposite.
Not the opposite. No guarantee. That he's spoiled? No guarantee. If it's a father who's coming against the son, even if the son is going to accost him, he's not going to kill him. So therefore, the father, Yeshul Domin, his blood is real blood. And if the son kills him, then he's a murderer. The halacha is suspended there. But then if he steals, so then all the next, so we're assuming that the son is not going to kill him, because he's not allowed to, and therefore he'll have to pay, the ganav is going to have to pay for what he stole. And in Ein lo, if he doesn't have money to pay, then in Karbegnevato, he's sold as a slave, and the money that we receive, Bezin receives for his sale, he pays for what he stole. Down at the bottom, I became fancy this starting it off. I put in both pages, I put footnotes. All it is the text of the Shmirah Shabbos in the latest edition of the Shmirah Shabbos. The halacha remained the same, despite all of the opposition. All right, the Rashi, we said. Now the Gemara. The Gemara, number four, is the Gemara. And the Gemara, we already said the Gemara. The Gemara says, Omar Chomer, number four, Omar Rabba. Rabba said, my time in the Machteres, what's the reason for ruling that somebody caught tumbling into our house may be killed? Why does he deserve to die? And the Gemara explains, Chazaka ein odom mamin atzmo al memono. We assume that a person will not be able to control himself from standing up for his defending his property. And therefore, Reuven, who comes in to steal, realizes this too. And therefore, Reuven realizes that if Shimon is going to stand up, you know what he's going to have to do? He's going to have to kill him. So therefore, Reuven becomes one who enters the house not only with the intent to steal, but also with the intent for man to kill. Now the fact is that really all? Is that it because it's certain that I won't be able to control myself? By the way, are all of the laws of Torah dependent on whether I control myself or I can't control myself? Aren't the laws of Torah there to tell us, Habibi, you better control yourself? You want a tray for McDonald's? You can't help yourself? Of course you can help yourself. The halacha says it's tray. We can't control ourselves? Of course we can control ourselves. But the essence of the halacha is, yeah, a man can.
Go
can't decide, you know. I'm going to let him steal. But what the Torah is really saying is you don't have to. We can't, we have to be able to stand up against those who come against us. Unless we're unprepared. And if we're unprepared, then it's only our own fault. Nothing we can do about it. But otherwise, property rights, what's mine is mine, and what's yours and yours is a basic and fundamental principle on which all of society and civilization can exist. Without it, there's no... That's such great stuff I just thought of saying. You know what? I'm going to leave you without it. We'll find another time. Another time to say it. Anyway, that's what Shlomo Zalman. Shlomo Zalman was a posse. Mit breite plexus. He had shoulders that he was able to make the decision and stand by it. That's it.
Okay.
He said, my mother did it and my grandmother did it. Let me close that. I would just close that thing. That's it. Taylor?
Get me out of here.
I heard a story from the Orthodox. I'm being Kalam Shabbat. Yeah. So he said there was one incident that he had. Kissinger was meeting with Rabin. And Kissinger was begging.